When rulers harden their hearts and treat God's word as irrelevant, God doesn't step back from the public square. He steps in and exposes the limits of their power, just like he did with Pharaoh. Today, as our own systems groan under crisis, the real question is not who is in office, but do we have soft hearts before the sovereign God who raises up and brings down leaders? Let's dive in. Welcome to the Washington Defender Daily Devotional. I'm your host, Pastor Brian Noble, CEO of Family Policy Institute of Washington. Hey, I hope you are having a blessed day today. We're going to dive into God's Word in just a few moments. But before I do, a couple of announcements. If you are enjoying this series called Israel, the Church, and God's Sovereignty, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, share, comment. And if you're in that Washington Defender app, place this in your huddle. Also, if you're a financial supporter of FPIW or FPIW Action, thank you so very much for your generosity. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us to achieve our goal and our mission. Our goal is to change hearts so that we can change the public square. And our mission is to defend and advance biblical values in the public square. All right. So today I'm hoping to get through this all. It may end up having to be 2 days, but we'll find out. The series is called Israel, the Church, and God's Sovereignty. And today is Rulers and God's Sovereignty. And God shows himself sovereign over rulers to magnify his name. Do you believe that? That God shows himself sovereign over rulers to magnify his name. And we're going to ask this question. How does God's sovereignty over powerful people affect your fears about politics or about the future or the history? All right, so let's start with Romans chapter 9, verse 17 through 18. It says, "For the scripture says to Pharaoh, 'For this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth.' So then he has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires." So the first thing we see here is that for the scripture says to Pharaoh. So what does it say? To Pharaoh. So we're going to go back and look at Egypt and Israel in the time of their time in Egypt and Pharaoh. "For this very purpose, I raised you up." So remember, there's multiple pharaohs. So Pharaoh's kind of like being president, you might say. There's been multiple presidents. "To demonstrate my power." So this particular pharaoh was raised up to demonstrate the power of God, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So the Pharaoh at the time of Moses was raised to power so that God's name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So we're going to go back over there, and we are going to look at this story about rulers and God's sovereignty. And so we'll start in Exodus 5, verse 1. This is, "And afterwards, Moses and Aaron came and said to Pharaoh, 'Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, let my people go, that they may celebrate a feast to me in the wilderness.'" So Moses and Aaron are coming before Pharaoh. But Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I do not know the Lord, and besides, I will not let Israel go." So we find some things out. He begins out by saying, "Who's the Lord that I should let obey his voice?" And you may be a public square leader today. You may be a father. You may be a mother. You may be a church leader. You might be a politician. You might be a business owner. And we must ask ourselves this question. Do we know the Lord? And do we know the voice of the Lord? Look at this. "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice? I do not know the Lord. I will not let Israel go." When civil leaders dismiss God's authority, treating his word as irrelevant to law, education, or policy, God often answers by exposing the limits of their power and making his reality unmistakable in public life. All right, let's continue on. And this would be in verses 3 through 9. "Then the Lord said, 'The God of the Hebrews has met with us. Please let us go a 3 days journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. Otherwise, he will fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword.' But the king of Egypt said to them, Moses and Aaron, 'Why do you draw the people away from their work? Get back to your labors.' Again, Pharaoh said, 'Look, the people of the land are now many, and you would have them cease from their labors.'" Look at this. He is paying more attention to how much they're working instead of the word of God. In fact, he says in verse 9, let the labor be heavier on the men and let them work at it so that the people will pay no attention to false words. So here we have Pharaoh, the ruler of that time, and he's saying something that Moses is alluding to, that they are false words. And so to think about this, if you're a leader, when governments or corporate powers weaponize work through crushing schedules, economic pressure, or speech codes to keep people too exhausted to listen to God, his people must resist by persevering and space for worship, family, and truthful speech in public life. We have just gone through a season of that, just like Pharaoh. Get back to work. These are false words, although they were true words. All right, so let's look at under compulsion. If you're a leader, do you want to be under compulsion? We'll skip ahead to Exodus 6. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you shall see what I will do to Pharaoh, for under compulsion, he will let them go. And under compulsion, he will drive them out of the land. Go speak further to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord, and I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as God Almighty, but by my name, Lord, I did not make myself known to them. So what does he do? He begins to say, hey, listen, by compulsion or because the situations get so bad, then they're going to listen. And then in verse 4, he brings up the covenant. I will establish my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land which they sojourned. So we see that he is talking to them about this land that they sojourned and that they're going to get the land of Canaan, the promised land, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Verse 5 says, furthermore, I have heard the groanings of the sons of Israel. So Israel had been groaning and been contemplating the very things of their slavery and how do they get free. Verse 8, I will bring you to the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you see the land? And I will give it to you for a possession. I am the Lord. So here we have God's promises and actions reinstated to Moses. When rulers harden under pressure and double down on coercive policies, God's covenant people can appeal to his promises, remembering that no regime can finally prevent God from delivering his people and giving them a place to flourish. All right, let's go ahead to Exodus 7. Verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, see, I make you as God to Pharaoh, and your brother as Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall speak to Pharaoh, that he let the sons of Israel go out of this land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that I may multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. So we see that God is going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Now, you're going to see this thing play out where Pharaoh's hardening his heart and God's making it more and more hard. Sometimes we don't understand why that is, but that's what takes place. It says this, when Pharaoh does not listen to you, then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring out my host, my people, the sons of Israel from the land of Egypt with great judgments. So he's going to judge Egypt. It says, the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch my hand out against Egypt. This idea of knowing that God is the Lord is powerful. He's going to bring them out. And the whole concept is that Egypt will know that God is the Lord. Now let's skip to verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is stubborn. So it wasn't that Pharaoh had a soft heart and somehow God just came in and was malicious, unjust, and hardened it. It was that Pharaoh had a stubborn heart and God came in and said, okay, that's where you want your heart to be. It's going to get more and more difficult for you. So then it says, go to Pharaoh. Oh, he had a stubborn heart and he refuses to let the people go. So Pharaoh continued to refuse to let people go. And we might want to think about this. When a nation's systems begin to bleed, economic, environmental, or social crises that expose deep injustices, these shocks can function as public judgments that call both rulers and citizens to acknowledge God rather than merely manage optics. Okay. So let's go over to verses 1 through 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and say to them, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. But if you refuse to let them go, behold, I will smite your whole territory with frogs. Isn't that amazing? So here we have frogs. And we're going to see what Pharaoh responds in verse 8. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and said, entreat the Lord that he may remove the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice to the Lord. Okay, so here we have Pharaoh saying, hey, remove it and I'll do it. But when Pharaoh saw that there was relief, he hardened his heart and did not listen to them as the Lord had spoke. So here we have Pharaoh hardening his own heart. So when rulers briefly acknowledge faith leaders during a crisis but revert to rebellion once the pressure lifts, it warns us not to confuse temporary political openness to the church with true repentance or lasting policy change. All right, verse 16. Then the Lord said to Moses, say to Aaron, stretch out your staff and strike the dust of the earth, and it will bring forth gnats or lice throughout the land of Egypt. So this next plague is going to be insects upon them. And we see down in verse 19, it says, now the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning, present yourself to Pharaoh as he comes to the water and say to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve. So he begins to say, hey, let them go, let them go, let them go. Yet the people are constantly going to harden their hearts. And in verse 19, the magician said to Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. But Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he did not listen to them as the Lord had said. So when evil, hostile elites admit that this is the finger of God, yet still refuse to change course, it shows that a society can recognize the reality of God's work in conscience, culture, or history and still persist in unbelief, inviting further judgment from God. So we go down to Exodus 8:20, and we see that he says, hey, let the people go. But if they don't, we're going to get flies. God will give them flies. For if you do not listen, my people, behold, I will send swarms of flies. And look at verse 28 here. It says that, oops, it's kind of in between. Pharaoh said, I will let you go that you may sacrifice the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away. Make supplications for yourself. And then Moses said, behold, I'm going out from you and I shall make supplications to the Lord and Pharaoh from his servants tomorrow. Only do not let Pharaoh deal deceitfully again in not letting the people go. So Moses went out to Pharaoh and made supplications to the Lord. And the Lord did as Moses asked and removed the swarms of flies. So here we have Moses removing that. But Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also, and he did not let the people go. So Pharaoh continually is hardening his heart before God. He's continuing to do this over and over again. So then in verses 9, 1 through 7, we see that Pharaoh, that the livestock gets wiped out. And what does he do in verse 7? Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not even one of the livestock of Israel dead, but the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. He just continues to harden his heart over and over and over again. And then in Exodus 9:8, then the Lord said, I will send boils upon you. And then verse 12, we see what happens. And the Lord said, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not listen to them just as the Lord had spoken. So this time we have the Lord doing it. When rulers harden, even as their own health, legitimacy, and institutions break down, it illustrates how God can touch the personal comfort of those in power to show that no office or security detail can shield them from his rule. All right, so then we have the hailstones in Exodus 9:18, and that's down through verse 35. Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not let the sons of Israel go. So we see this pattern over and over and over again. This is all what Romans is talking about. And then we have in Exodus 10:1, then the Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of the servants that I may perform these signs of mine among them. So there we have, God hardening Pharaoh's heart. And then in verse 20, we see of chapter 10, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and did not let the sons of Israel go. So we oftentimes can see there's this relationship between rulers or those in authority and God. And if we continue to harden our heart before God, then God's like, fine. And our heart will be hardened. So verse 21, it says, the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards them. And this is darkness over the land. And we see that Pharaoh called to Moses in verse 24. After this darkness, he says, the Pharaoh called to Moses saying, go serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be detained. Even your little ones may go with you. But Moses said, you must also let us have sacrifice and burnt offerings that we may sacrifice them to the Lord your God, or to the Lord our God. And so he says, no, we have to go. And then Pharaoh just continues to harden his heart. Then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me. Beware. Do not see my face again. For in the day you see my face, I will surely die. You shall die. And Moses said, you are right. I shall never see your face again. Verse 29. So in chapter 11, we see that Pharaoh continues to do this. There's the last plague, and this is the death of the firstborn. And so we see that God is getting closer and closer and more intimate with Pharaoh and the people. And this is where we see in verse 10, Moses and Aaron performed all the wonders before Pharaoh, yet the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he did not let the sons of Israel go out of the land. So this keeps getting harder and harder, heart as they go. And so then we find out in Exodus chapter 12, then the Egyptians urged the people to send them out of the land, for they said, we will all die. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, with their kneading bowl bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. And so we have the Passover happening, and Israel is set free. So when every lesser warning is ignored, God may finally remove what nations value the most: security, errors, institutions, so that even hardened regimes are compelled to release what they once swore they would never surrender. How applicable is this to today? So what's the bottom line? You're going into your workplace today. Do you have a soft heart, or do you have a hardened heart? Do you have a heart that is after God, or do you have a heart to rebel against his voice? Our root scripture, the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I raised you up, to demonstrate my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then he who has mercy on whom he desires, and he hardens whom he desires. God is sovereign over our leadership and over our communities, and he will show mercy on who he wants to show mercy. Have a soft heart before God today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day, and we do pray that we will have soft hearts before you today, God, that our hearts will not be filled with pride, arrogance, or even trying to place ourselves in your place, God. Let us be surrendered and turn to you, the living God. God, we pray over our public square, our leadership as fathers, as mothers, as business owners, as school employees or school board members, as city council members, whatever it might be. We pray, God, that you would go before us in all things, that you would surround us today, God, and that our hearts would be soft before you. We beg for your mercy, your grace, and your newness of life. And we know that only comes through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. Go out there and defend and advance biblical values in the public square. God bless.
You love our beautiful state, but does fighting for issues that most affect families ever feel like you're climbing alone? It can feel like an uphill climb in a hostile environment that champions causes detrimental to Washington families. Again and again, the summit feels out of reach, but you don't have to climb alone. With like-minded people fighting for Washington families by your side, the journey becomes not just possible, but powerful. The Defender app, brought to you by the Family Policy Institute of Washington, connects you with your team for the climb ahead. Connect with conservatives who care about issues affecting families in your specific county and across our state in order to make our voices be heard locally and in Olympia. Simply click Learn to stay informed about the latest news affecting families. With one click, press Huddle to team up with other conservative minds in your specific county who care about how these issues affect you and your unique community. Then simply press Activate to get involved and to make your voice heard on legislation that matters in Olympia. With the Washington Defender app, you won't face the fight alone. Together, we can make a difference for families in Washington. Download the Washington Defender app today, a simple way to let your voice be heard.